Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo's in Bolotusha.
Ooh, that would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, if it was Bola Brua, maybe. But
yeah, that would work.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Every weekend is grilling season in the state of Mississippi. Hot or cold, we're getting out there, we're firing it up, and we are going to be eating beef. And if you don't want to cook, I can't fault you, but go find a great steak or burger. They're all over the state of Mississippi. You don't have to drive too far to eat beef. Beef, it is what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Mississippi State gear, you know, what we got holiday-wise coming up? We were good ways out from a gift-giving holiday. So I'm giving you plenty of time for Mother's Day and, of course, far more importantly, Father's Day in June. Start looking now at collegecornerstore.com or swing by one of their two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell. Pick out that new MSU polo or pullover for mom or dad and get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell. Priority One Bank has 16 locations. They got eight times more locations than College Corner. They're throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. Talk to a banker that's going to treat you with respect. Talk to a banker at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Let me begin with an apology. We were scheduled to talk with former Mississippi State SEC Pitcher of the Year and Major Leaguer Chris Stratton. I personally had a family emergency this morning. Chris was kind enough, though, to reschedule that. We will talk to him next week, so we'll get him on the podcast, but that will not be on today's show. So, again, my apologies for that. But I thought, Robbie, I want to make sort of a compare and contrast kind of moment between you and I here and things that we've seen this weekend. So you were at baseball on Tuesday. You saw the first pitch and the first moment of the career of Jack Bauer, who we all hope will be the next great Mississippi State superstar athlete. I was at the hump on Wednesday, and I saw the next moment, and possibly the greatest moment, in Josh Hubbard's illustrious career at Mississippi State. 46 points and leads his team to an emotional victory over the Auburn Tigers. The season obviously hasn't gone the way that Hubbard or anybody in maroon and white would have wanted it to, but last night was a very special moment. And it got me to thinking about, you know, the college athletes, it's just kind of this way, right? They come and they go. It's not a pro situation where you get to enjoy a guy for 10, 12, and in some cases 15, 20 years. I just thought it was kind of cool, but it got me thinking about Hubbard a little bit, and we'll come back to Bauer. Is Hubbard underappreciated at Mississippi State? I feel like he is. You know that there have been message board threads and talks on social media about maybe State would be better off without Hubbard and things like that. I think those people are, for lack of a better word, idiots. I don't know how else to put it. This guy is one of the greatest players in the history of the school. He will go down as the all-time leading scorer after his senior season. I got people in my mentions saying, well, you know, Bailey Howe didn't have the three-point line. Well, Bailey Howe was a foot taller than everybody. All right.
Well, let's address that, too, by the way. Like, what's more difficult to do, score whenever you're 6'6" around the rim or make a shot from 25 to 30 feet away?
Which is more difficult? He's 6'10".
I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand this thought process. Well, Bailey,
Well,
I love and appreciate Bailey Howell. I'm not in
the
any
all-time
way.
greatest player in Mississippi State history. There's no
I'm
question
just
about
talking
it.
about diminishing Josh what he did.
I don't know why people feel like they need to do it.
He
Like,
made
and
10 three-pointers. Brian,
what
he made
killed me,
9 three-pointers. That's never been done, by the way, at Mississippi State.
Robbie, was the people who were replying to it. All I said was, hey, Hubbard has whatever. The all-time record is 47, held by, of course, Bailey Howell. Didn't say anything about anything. I just said Howell has the record, and it turned a couple. And that wasn't a lot of people. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a lot, but there were a few people just like, "Yeah, well, Howell." I'm like,
It
so
always seems to be
everybody
a
wants to
very
discount
similar
Howell.
group,
That's
too.
just it's just annoying. But that said, let's go back to my original question: is Hubbard one of the most underappreciated superstars we've ever had here at Mississippi State?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, people still to this day, if he has a bad game, they'll say it's time to bench him. You just take him out of the ball game. And I think there was a time, maybe last year, where you and I might have said, like, maybe he needs to sit a few minutes, sit and watch whatever. Like he was in a stretch that he was really struggling. But this year, what we've said about Josh Hubbard is like he's State's only chance. They have no opportunity to win any games if he is not playing well. And it doesn't have to be elite, but if he's not scoring the basketball, they don't have a shot.
Right.
And so you have to live through those moments. And what we've always said about Josh is like, there's going to be some days where he's 3 for 12 or something, where it's just not falling. But at the same time, it's not like the dude's missing the whole goal. Like sometimes they're just not going in. But I mean, he's accurate. I mean, it's right around the rim. It's
He's
not like he's.
shooting his main offensive weapon is a shot that the best shooters are shooting 36, 37%. Right?
Right.
He's not near the rim that where he should be shooting 50, 60%. He is a three-point sniper. That's what he is. He's doing it better than anybody in school history. He's now gone three straight games 30. Sam Sklar pointed this out last night at the press conference. He had that game against Arkansas where he didn't hit a three, which snapped his streak. Since then, 32, 31, and now 46. And it feels like, especially in the Ole Miss game and in this game, and in moments in the Tennessee game, Tennessee's just much better than those two teams. But it really felt like Hubbard was trying to put this team on his back and be like, look, I'm tired of losing. Whatever I've got to do, I've got to do it. The guy isn't, it's not for lack of effort that this guy hasn't had the success that you want to have. Essentially, it's not a lack of effort from Josh Hubbard that this team has not been as successful as you wanted it to be this year.
And what we've talked about this year, I mean, now he's 18 of 31, by the way, in his last three games from three.
I mean,
That's
that's a.
almost 60%.
So I was just saying, yeah, the best shooters are 37%, and he's at a 60% clip.
Well, it was like, oh, this guy's a volume shooter. He's shooting 36%. This year could be his best season 3-point shooting.
You know what I
He's
was?
tied with his freshman year, but he shot 36% as a freshman. He's shooting 36% now.
I'll give you a pet peeve of mine when people talk about volume scores, because you know me, I'm a Lakers fan, right? So I heard this a lot of time about Kobe. It's like, oh, he's a volume scorer. He got 40 points, but he had to take 28 shots. What does it say about your relationship with the coach and what kind of player you are that they'll let you take 28 shots? Like,
And Kobe scored in every way
every way.
possible.
But I will say with
He could.
Hubbard, like, if Jans didn't want him taking those shots, he'd put him on the bench. He
You have
wants
to have him
Hubbard
take
taking
those
those shots.
shots.
Exactly.
I don't
Exactly.
understand. Like, do people think that Mississippi State has, like, I don't know, the Detroit Pistons and the Boston Celtics from the 80s and 90s, and even some of those Lakers teams where you have all those role players around you.
Yeah.
Paul Gasol, Lamar Odom. State doesn't have those pieces.
No.
State has Josh Hubbard,
Yeah.
and then a bunch of dudes that every now and then they might get double digits.
When they did have those pieces the last 2 years, they went to the tournament. And when
Right.
they had Cam Matthews and they had Riley Kugel last year and Claudell Harris, guys who could play a role every now and then. I think a lot of it too is last year in the tournament. The last play of that game is clearly drawn up to go to Hubbard, and Claudell Harris just decides to play hero ball. and take a shot. Hubbard's supposed to be getting the ball there. If he gets the ball, he makes the shot. Maybe people view him a little different. I think the lack of postseason success hurts him in terms of how he's viewed. But my God, we watched a masterclass last night. I watch basketball. I watch a good bit of basketball, and the only people who have halves like that, I mean, guys like, I'm putting them in the pantheon there. You know, I've seen Jordan and LeBron and Kobe do things like that. And what set me on this path today was, you know, that we every day the podcast posts on Six Pack Speak, and I happened to have a notification that somebody had said something. And look, I made the title yesterday just to have some fun. I made it Josh Hubbard is good at basketball, and somebody, the first reply was, yeah, but not great. I'm like, I don't know why Mississippi State fans do this.
Why do Mississippi State fans do this? I saw somebody tweet in the middle of the game, this is going to be the game that makes Josh Hubbard transfer. Like, no. It's constant doom. Like, and people talk about us being negative. There's people in this fan base
that. You look in the mirror is what you need to do.
They make us look like sunshine pumpers.
I mean.
But Josh Hubbard this year, we can't appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah.
22 points per game, the most he's averaged in his career by 3 points per game, mm-hmm. has more steals than he has any other season, has more assists per game than he has. He's gonna have more assists this year than he had any other year. 3-point shooting is as good as it's been. Field goal shooting is as good as it's been. Strangely, the area that he's declined on is free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He's 77%, which that's
incredible that he could have broken Howell's record last night if he just hit his free throws. He missed three free
throws. Well, and I kept wanting them to throw the inbounds to him so he could get the free throws.
I said something to Colin from the Commercial Dispatch. I was like, they got to inbound to him so he gets fouled, right? And I guess they just couldn't get him the ball.
But his numbers are going to be up in every single category: rebounds, steals, assists, points, 3-point shooting, field goal shooting, except for free throw shooting.
Yeah.
This guy's having an unbelievable season. If Mississippi State was any better, mm-hmm. he would probably be the front runner for SEC Player of the Year. But I don't know if they'll give it to him.
But he might be
an All American at this pace.
You mentioned that he had 9 rebounds last night. He was a rebound away from a double double.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't get over that. Also, no turnovers, which was key. State is such a weird team. In that they don't force turnovers anymore. The defense is just lacking. We've known that all season long, but they protected the basketball last night as well. And you know, on a night where everybody else was kind of off, like Epps has 13, I think he had 10 in the final 10 minutes of the half. He had a couple big shots there at the end. Don't take those away from him. Sean Jones played maybe his best game of the season. That's the kind of game you need from Sean Jones. He had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He didn't take a lot of shots. He played great defense. That's what you want from Sean Jones. You'll take it every single time. I thought he had a clean block there on Keyshawn Murphy, and they called him for a foul. I thought that was a clean block. But, you know, Achor didn't give you very much. Ballard hasn't given you very much all year. State couldn't do
it. It is amazing to me that Quincy Ballard is the size that he is,
mm-hmm.
and is so bad at rebounding the basketball.
I was talking to somebody about this.
It blows my mind.
Like, Quincy Ballard is the kind of player, just from a physical standpoint, 20 years ago might have been the first pick in the draft. I mean, he looks like he should absolutely be a dominant force down there. And he's just not. And it's the main reason. It above all else is the main reason Mississippi State has not been successful this year. If Quincy Ballard was a 13-9 kind of consistent scorer, you would be probably in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, a guy that, especially in the non-conference games, that should have been a guy you could just consistently dump the ball down to and he could get his points. And it just hasn't occurred that way.
I mean, he's had two double digit scoring efforts.
Yeah, one was against LSU. Well, just recently.
LSU and Oklahoma, and he's only had one double digit SEC rebounding game. This dude's 7 feet tall.
And that game was against Alabama, and most of those rebounds were after the fact. Like, the game was completely out of hand. He put a pile of rebounds.
Their low posts, rebounding, all that, it almost cost them the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Josh Hubbard, if it wasn't for Josh Hubbard scoring 40 plus, that if he scores 30, something. They lose that by double
digits. I made
digits.
That point, yeah, that last night. It's like if he had just had a normal Josh Hubbard game, 25 points, you lose by double digits.
Yeah.
Like he had to carry this team, and he did it. So all of that combined, like the Twitter stuff and the message board, I just felt like having a rant. I haven't had a good one in a while, but I do feel like Josh Hubbard has been underappreciated by Mississippi State. By not all. Some love him, and they should. He will go down as one of your greatest all-time basketball players and honestly one of your all-time greatest athletes here at Mississippi State. He'll be back for another season. So Richard pointed this out to me yesterday, and he might be a little ahead of this pace now. But Hubbard's pace, if he keeps the same one, he will finish as the all-time leading SEC three-point shooter by one. If he stays on the exact same pace, he'll be ahead of Chris Lofton.
What is the record?
It's like 435 or something like that.
Okay, he's not quite the 300, so he's going to have to pick it up.
Let me double check that.
Yeah, if it's 435, that's going to be tough.
I thought that's what Richard said. Let me double check.
I think he's at 294.
He's at 3-point shots.
He's at 294.
I'm confused to what is this the team totals? Oh, these are team totals. Okay. I was like, what am I looking at here? Why do I not have his stats? I'm looking up Chris Lofton's stats here. Here we go. Chris Lofton. College stats. All right, here we go. Three-pointers. He made 431. Of course, he played in a lot more games than Hubbard's going to play in, too.
So yeah, Hubbard's not going to break that record.
He would have to – he hit 108.
He's hit 108 twice and then he has 78. He's not going to break that.
So in the last three games, if he gets to 108, he'd be sitting at, what, 330? Yeah, he could break it.
Yeah, but he's not going to get to 108 this year is what I'm saying.
He's at 78, you said?
He's going to have to hit 20-plus three-pointers over the next – five games. I just don't know if that's. I don't know
you
if
don't
he's.
Think he can hit 20 in the next five.
Well, I mean,
games?
I think he's. I mean, yesterday was great, but
yeah,
that's
but
kind of an anomaly. I mean, that's the SEC record. I
but
think
he's got. Is it five games left? It's five games. If he just hits four a game, I mean, that's reasonable. Even if he's just a little bit off the pace, though, next year if he comes back, he'll have a chance. What's going to hurt him, like I said, is he's not going to play a ton of games this year. I mean, once they get to the SEC tournament, that's probably it for him this season. So next year he needs to come out pretty strong. He's gonna have a chance. We'll say that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's transition to baseball because I want to talk about Bauer and we're seeing Bauer and these freshman arms. So let's move into that. And that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two fantastic places to grab lunch, to grab dinner, just have a good time. When you're in Starkville, the Cotton District is the place to be in Starkville. It's growing bigger and better. In the next couple of years, it's going to be an unbelievable area. And Two Brothers is right at the center of that. It's the anchor of the Cotton District. If you want to have a great meal today, I'll make it really easy for you. Go to the Cotton District, park your car, and walk over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Hey, brother.
I'm glad you're here today because trying to finagle that last night, I forgot about it until I started doing the
radio. Oh, yeah, I forgot you were doing the
– Oh, God. I had to pull it up. I made it happen, but it was an ordeal. If you need technology for your business, Advantage Business Systems is the name to know and the number to call. They have been doing this for a long time. How long again? I forgot.
50.
There you go. If you need a new copy or a new printer, new computers, new laptops, it's the number to call is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go for Mississippi State gear here in Starkville. Nobody with a bigger or better selection than Maroon & Co. They've got it all. They've got polos, pullovers, hoodies, T-shirts, hats, custom cowbells from our friends over at the Bellsmith. They've got it all, and they're looking. If you're wanting to get something maroon and white in Starkville, and you don't want to get that same polo that everybody else has, you need to shop Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. That's in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Before you go to your next Mississippi State football, basketball, or baseball game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Robbie, yesterday, looked outside at like 6:02. It's almost, the sky was almost still blue. We're getting there. We're getting there to spring. Be ready for spring with some John Deere green. When before the grass turns green, we need John Deere green in your on your yard, in your fields, and in your house. John Deere Green at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Scruggs has what you want for less. We've been saying that for a long time, but what you want is John Deere. They do it better than anybody else. 0% financing available up to 60 months on the John Deere commercial mowers, John Deere compact tractors, and low financing available as well on the John Deere Gator. Whatever you're looking for, John Deere, they've got it at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden, Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. What do we got to tell you? If you're looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly make that purchase happen for you. But if you're already a landowner, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you make smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions regarding your land. They're experts in their field. Make them the experts in your field with a quick phone call from our friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. There's a reason they're locally trusted and landowner approved. If you're looking to buy, sell, or just maintain your own land, call Good Hope Land and Timber today. So you saw Bauer on Tuesday, and then Wednesday you were at Duty Noble again for a run rule shortened victory over Alcorn. 19-0 is the final score there. I thought State left some meat on the bone in that one too. That could have easily been 24-25-0. But yep. It's kind of funny. We come away from a game where you score 19 runs and you got some big batting performances. I think Blake Beavis had 6 ribeye steaks in that game. You had a lot going on at the plate, but the freshman arms were where I think people were most focused and impressed with. And that goes back to Tuesday with Bauer.
Yeah, no doubt. These guys look like the real deal. I mean, I knew that we'd probably see a little bit of Jack Bauer. I knew we'd see a little bit of Maddox Miller because they used him a lot in the fall. And Parker Rhodes, too. But, Tanner Bellevue and –
pronounce that again.
I'm not 100%
positive
how that's pronounced. Let's see if there's a pronunciation.
He's from Pedal, right? Somebody he is from Pedal. Let us know.
Yes.
I know we got Pedal. I know we got plenty of
– Well, it's been pronounced a few different ways from people. Like O'Connor was pronouncing it one way. I mean, it's just weird. But anyway, I was so impressed with all of them. I thought they were all really good. I thought Bauer obviously was probably a little jacked up, and maybe if we saw Maddox Miller and Parker Rhodes and Bellevue, like maybe if we saw them for a second inning, And maybe if we saw him against Troy, it might work out similar to what we saw with Jack Bauer. I don't know. A little easier to pitch against Alcorn State.
Yeah.
But the fact they just pounded the strike zone, you didn't have a lot of issues. Parker Rhodes walked a guy, but that was it. You had an inning from all three of them. Mm-hmm. All of them had 2 strikeouts or more. Maddox Miller struck out 3. Mm-hmm. All three of them are throwing, I think, 95-plus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have some big time arms in that freshman class. Jack Bauer was hit with coming out, soft toss in 97, 98. And Bellevue might be the surprise of the group. I mean, he's throwing 98 to 99.
He topped 100 at least once I don't know how accurate the ESPN, the radar gun is there, but I did see 100 on one pitch from him.
Well, that looks like a major steal for State. I mean, he was kind of slipping under the radar. Scouts were looking at him and really impressed with him. He was actually kind of moving up the ranks, but it's not a guy that we were really talking a whole lot about coming out of high school. And I think he's a little bit of a late bloomer. I mean, he was known inside the state of Mississippi, but was like a two-way guy that was doing a little bit of both. I mean, I think he was catching some, he was hitting. You didn't really know what you were going to do with him. State utilized him hitting some in the fall as well. But I think his future is probably going to be on the mound.
Yeah.
A big body kid, big country strong kid, 6'3", 225. And he was really impressive last night. And I thought, Maddox Miller, who's right down the road from him, from Oak Grove, He was impressive from the left side, though, in 95. That's a guy with an MLB pedigree. His dad obviously played in the MLB and, kind of scouts a little bit too. So he really knows his stuff. I mean, I'm sure he's been given pointers Maddox his entire life. So, those guys are built different. And then Parker Rhodes, we remember him, how he climbed, went to the scouting combine for the MLB. You end up getting him to school. This just looks like that sophomore class and freshman class, you're going to be built for stability there. The sophomore class is all going to be coming back next year, provided they don't transfer. But all four of your starters right now, I guess we'll exclude Pitzer since it was an extended midweek start. But Charlie Foster, Tomas Vilenkis, Ryan McPherson, Duke Stone, all sophomores. And then you got in the bullpen, you got those freshmen. Jack Gleason's a redshirt freshman. He's in that class. This is the Justin Parker effect. You're starting to see the guys that he's evaluated, he's recruited. This looks like a completely different group than Scott Foxhall was bringing in. I mean, it's every one of them are big arms. They're all 92 to 98, somewhere in that range. You're not seeing 87, 88 anymore. I mean, and I'm not saying that's the end all be all. I'm totally against that
But it
being,
helps.
yeah, but it helps. If you got a guy that can run it up to 96, 97, it's tough. So I love this young group. I think there's still a lot of question marks with this pitching staff. We really don't know who's going to be what role. I think, Tuesday and Wednesday probably changes your opinion a little bit on some of these younger guys. We saw the same guys basically on Tuesday outside of Jack Bauer that we saw last weekend. So it wasn't really anybody new. Wednesday, we started to see some of these new faces because they basically went every inning, we're doing a new guy. So it was Paul calling me. It was really, really neat to see those guys get out there and have that success. That's going to be big for them.
So when you think about these guys, and it may be too early to tell, and you're certainly welcome to say that, but like, who do you think, give me one or two you think they will definitely have a role to play for this team when we get into SEC play?
Out of
Bauer, is
that
Bauer one of them?
freshman group, yeah, I think Bauer probably is until he's not, until he you can't pitch him. Like if he gets to the point where he just can't control it and he's walking guys, he's hitting guys, then you can't have him in there. But I think what they'll probably do is they'll ease him along in the midweek. You'll see him most midweek games, and then if he's starting to come together, then you start throwing them out there. The other ones, I mean, any of them could probably be in there. They all handled that situation well. I mean, again, it's Alcorn, so it's hard to know. But I think any of those guys could be in the mix. It looks like Jack Gleason's going to be a guy you can count on. I mean, he's
Kirk.
come into two impossible situations. You're asking a guy that's never pitched in college baseball before to come into, I believe, both games bases loaded. And you had two outs the first time he comes in and gets the out. The second time, they only had, I believe, one out. He had to get two outs to get out of that inning. So Gleason looks like a fireman, put the fire out kind of dude. Two and a third in his first two appearances, one hit, two strikeouts, didn't
Not the
walk
same
anybody.
velocity, but could he be like a Colby White kind of guy?
Possibly just in his in the role, maybe. There's several guys that could form into that. What's Tyler Pitzer do? I thought he was solid. What's
He
he
was
do
fine.
on a regular weekend? I mean, because you're not playing two midweek games every week. So is Duke Stone your midweek starter? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but they have options here. I think what we've seen is Chris Billingsley right now, he's back on him. He's kind of struggled to throw strikes. Everybody else is pretty much what they've done so far has impressed you. William Kirk had a little bit of a tough outing against Troy, but I think he's going to be solid. Brendan Sweeney, what we saw from him on Friday was fantastic. Dane Burns is a matchup guy. I thought Jackson Loger was good. Maddox Webb's been really good back in the bullpen. They have a lot of options here. They have a lot more options than they did last year.
And you mentioned Duke Stone possibly being the midweek guy. I mean, I have to think that if Charlie Foster doesn't pick it up this week, could very easily slot him in as that third weekend starter. So,
You could.
I
Yeah.
mean,
I don't think that there's any doubt that he could get in there and give you, 4 or 5 innings.
yeah.
And that's I think that's where he wants to be in the starting role. But right now, that there's a lot of roles unsettled. It's like I asked Brian O'Connor too. He's making a lot of changes right now and kind of messing around with these lineups. And it's like we talked about the other day. I mean, people think that you're just going to automatically have a lineup and set it. I don't think that's going to be the case. You're going to see a lot of different players getting in the games. But I asked him, like, what's your philosophy? Are you going to want to tighten this thing up, get it down to just, 10, 11 guys? Do you want your lineup to be set most days?
Right.
Or are you going to be kind of fluid with it and it be basically what you see coming into every single day? And he said, no, we do want to tighten it up. At Virginia, I think he had 11. He said, that's normally what I have. We'll have about three guys, two or three guys probably, that you can fluctuate. And then, if it's a pinch hit situation, you might have somebody. But for the most part, I think by middle of the season, you're going to start to see it's just going to be this core of dudes. You might have a matchup situation, but it's going to be pretty much those guys. And I think that's what you're eventually going to have with this pitching staff too. Justin Parker likes to have his group that he can count on. It might not necessarily be the same role every time, but I think he's going to get it down to, maybe seven bullpen arms or something, just kind of tighten that group up because that's the group you won't get most of the innings.
I'm trying to think of what that group was 2 years ago. I mean, you had Harden and Davis. Who
It
were
was
the other?
essentially, he kind of got it to the point where it was like Tyler Davis set up and then Tyson Harden closing. But he also had Davis closing some games too. And
Yeah,
then other than that, I mean,
that
they're.
year we kind of had like dual closers. Like Harden would go one day, Davis would go the next, and it worked. It worked. So
And then, they're really. There really wasn't a ton of guys that they were utilizing out of the bullpen because their starting pitching was so good. You would use Brooks Auger out
Auger,
of
that's the guy I was
Penn.
trying to think of. Yeah.
I was just looking at some of these. Cam Schulke, they used as a
Very much a
tech.
matchup guy, yeah.
Yeah. They actually started using Cole Cheatham decent bit for matchup.
Well,
Yeah,
Dotson
Gavin
would have been.
Black, Evan Sierra.
Was Dotson on that? In that? Yeah.
Dotson pitched 11 games.
Yeah.
So they kind of got it tight. But the key to that team was Cal Steven and Drangelo Sanger gave you 6 plus innings, it felt like every week. I'm not going to
You
say
wanted
it.
to say it. I heard it there.
I had to say it yesterday whenever I made my tweet about the game. And
Yeah.
I'd mentioned, I think Peter Machon and Drew Weyers were 6 for 7. But I put in parentheses, sigh. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah. So, all right. Baseball this weekend at Duty Noble Field against the Delaware Blue Hens. 4 o'clock on Friday, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and early services at Duty Noble on Sunday, 11 a.m. First pitch for that for the series finale.
Yeah, I asked
Obviously,
about that. So they have to leave, I think it's 6.
okay,
So they have a
so
plane leaving, so they moved it
they
up a
made it
couple
easy on
hours.
him. That's
There's just.
just smart. Like, why schedule it at one and make it risky?
Yeah.
You know, so
Hey, I'm
whether.
all for it. I mean, I might have to go to early church, but
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
And we'll be the weather could be an issue this weekend. If it is, you'll know when we know. I promise you that. So, all right. On Monday's show, we'll recap this weekend in baseball. We'll recap what happens Mississippi State, South Carolina men's basketball, women's basketball, big games coming up as they try to make their push for the NCAA tournament. Plenty to talk about. Softball staying undefeated. Spring sports. Springtime is it's, if the men's basketball team was just where it normally is, this would be a great time of year to be a Mississippi State fan. We'll see where it
Men's
takes us.
tennis has been
Men's tennis has been
phenomenal.
great. It's been really, really
Softball
good. So,
is undefeated. Best start since 2014 for softball.
Highest ranking, whatever, I believe.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Talk to you guys on Monday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.